Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with my co-host Charlie Goldsmith, and we are here to recap the Bengals' dominating performance against the Baltimore Ravens, a 41-17 win that puts the Cincinnati Bengals at the top of the division and 5-2 on the year. The Bengals came in knowing it was going to be a tough feat against Lamar Jackson, who had been playing as good as any quarterback, and the Ravens' defense known for being the pressure and disguises that they bring. Joe Burrow and the Bengals show that they are up to the task and they're no longer a team that can be perceived as an easy out. Charlie, what stands out to you most when you have your first initial thoughts about what took place here at M&T Bank Stadium?
The timeline now is completely different. Playoffs are now the expectation for the team that is first place in the AFC North and the AFC as well if the season ended today. It's a team that we've spoken about, the lack of weaknesses they have and the strengths they've kind of developed in so many different areas. And just look at where those things stand. Burrow, a quarterback who is ascending into the top 12, top 10, top 8 tier of quarterbacks in the entire league. Ja'Marr Chase, a wide receiver who's having the best start any rookie receiver has ever had in the NFL. A defensive line that had the best game it has had under defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo against one of the best quarterbacks in the entire football league. It's a Bengals team that made a statement about who they are, about what their timeline is, and what their realistic expectations are now that they showed this is what they're capable of.
Well, and I was standing right outside the locker room when the players were headed in off the field. And just the excitement that you could hear beaming from the locker room of the guys as they came in. This game some games just mean more. This game meant more to this team because they wanted to show, look, we went to Pittsburgh and it wasn't a fluke that we beat the Steelers. It's not a fluke that we beat the Ravens because this offense, I think, played its best game from start to finish. The first quarter was a little bit of a chess match game where I think Zach Taylor and his staff were trying to figure out what the Ravens were trying to do to Joe Burrow, and then they adjusted. I thought Zach Taylor and his coaching staff adjusted really well in game. And it started with Ja'Marr Chase, and Chase said after the game, they were trying to take me away from going over the top. Marlon Humphrey did not let me. So then Zach Taylor had to change his game plan because, you know, he still wanted to get the ball into Chase his hands. He just had to find a different way to do it. And today, Ja'Marr Chase showed that he's not just the deep ball guy. You can hit him on a 20-yard slant and he can take it to the house. He finished the day with 201 yards on 8 catches and another touchdown. He just continues to be on a tear, and him and Joe Burrow are how this offense gets going. And then you've got Joe Mixon kind of putting a bow on it at the end of the game with his bruising run style. So a really good performance. And the offensive line, Charlie, we've talked about the offensive line being a liability at times, and still a lot to figure out in the short yardage situations. And I know we'll talk about that later on, but they allowed only one sack on Joe Burrow. So I think we should talk about that. Let's start there.
So two plays come to mind when you speak about the offensive line. The first was the play where they put out 13 personnel. It ended up being the long touchdown to CJ Uzama. And the other play was the audible Burrow made going down to the left side of the field where he ended up finding Uzama again over the middle on a play that almost went to Tyler Boyd. Both plays were results of audibles or decisions that Joe Burrow made because of the way he read the pass rush, because of where he anticipated it coming from. On the Uzama ball, they designed that and he realigned like who they had in pass protection. Drew Sample was in exactly the right place to block Calais Campbell, which gave Burrow literally the last second he needed to throw that 50-yard plus ball to Chase. And then on that second touchdown to Uzama, it was another play where Burrow audibled off of a screen to Boyd because he anticipated the pressure coming from that side. That, as a result, left no one over the middle. Burrow made a quick throw to a wide open Uzama. I mean, those two plays were the examples of Joe Burrow is ready to do more and to win against this Baltimore defense that confused him so much last season.
Yeah, and Uzama said, Joe Burrow, I don't know how many times I have to tell you guys this. Joe Burrow is the smartest player on the field at all times. And when you talk about those plays, that certainly shows you just what we're talking about with his ability to diagnose what's going on pre-snap at a level he wasn't able to do as a rookie. another thing on offense that really stood out to me was it was clear that the Bengals wanted to get T. Higgins involved in today's game. Let me look at the stat sheet right here, but he had 15 targets. Wow. 15 targets to T. Higgins. When I read that to you, here we go. Jamar Chase, 10 targets. T. Higgins, 15. C.J. Uzomah, 3, but finished the day with almost 100 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. What stands out to you when I read those stats off to you at first?
So, all right. So the Higgins-Chase thing is literally the most interesting part of this entire game and the most interesting thing about the Bengals offense. So what happened is Marlon Humphrey's really good, the Ravens' number one corner. The number two cornerback, Everett, is not good. Yeah. And what opposing offenses have done time after time after time is target him in one-on-one coverage and use that as the way to break down the Ravens. Well, that's what happened early on. The Bengals were forcing the ball to Higgins. Some of those weren't Burrow's best throws, but also the plays weren't clicking. And that's how I would bet the majority of those targets to Higgins were first half targets. Because then what happened, the turning point of the whole game was that last field goal drive before halftime where, so the first was zone coverage. He finds Chase underneath. The second is one-on-one man with Humphrey, Chase over the middle. And then the next one, I believe, was an out route where Chase used a counter move to break past Humphrey. And those were the three plays that kind of showed everybody Chase can beat Humphrey in one-on-one coverage. And then the entire game plan changed. They said, you know what? Chase can do it. So we're just going to call his number more, which they hadn't before. That's when it became the Jamar Chase show. And that's when Jamar Chase became the type of wide receiver who proved he can be a true number one elite corner.
He's what they call a game wrecker. I once was told that opposing coaches will put on Monday before they start game planning, a dry erase board, and they'll throw out names of the people that they say, this person's a game wrecker. And I think with the Bengals, you start with Jamar Chase, meaning you have to take this person away because they're capable of taking over a game. And that's exactly what Jamar Chase did. Joe Burrow threw 23 completions on 38 attempts for 416 yards, 3 touchdowns. And I know a lot of those yards come from Chase and Uzama's ability to make plays after the catch. But what we're talking about with Burrow is 416 yards against a Baltimore Ravens defense is a big deal.
So, like, you could cite, so I asked Burrow this, like, you worked so hard to make specific mechanical adjustments to improve your velocity and to improve your deep ball. And from my count, and Burrow said the same thing, like, there were 5, 6, 7 throws that Burrow just isn't or wasn't able to make last season. The number one that stands out was kind of on his back foot through contact on that deep shot to Uzomah down the field. Even throws as simple as like an out route to Jamar Chase with Marlon Humphrey guarding him. Humphrey's good enough to where that ball has to be sharp and on point on a very hard throw sometimes, a throw outside the numbers across your body. That's something that Joe Burrow is very good at now that that wasn't one of his strengths last season. And as we talk about Joe Burrow ascending, is he top 12, top 10, top 8? These are the throws that prove that he is making huge strides in the right direction.
Yeah, so we had to start with the offensive performance because Charlie, you and I have both been kind of waiting for this moment for this offense where it seemed like the defense is week in and week out consistent and this offense hadn't yet shown what they can be. And today is exactly what I think we all envisioned this offense would be. So great performance against a really good defense. I don't think people understand. Joe Burrow said this defense puts more pressure on you than any other team in the NFL. So while Charlie and I are talking about this, the reason we're you know, bringing up what the offense did today is because this defense is historically so good. And like you said, with the Drew Sample block, all 11 players seem to be on top of their details. And that is a tip of the hat to Zach Taylor, because you don't get that if there's not extreme focus heading into this game.
I have one more point I want to make, like the whole point with the wide receivers and the challenges and the mismatches. The two plays that really, I think, sealed the game was the drive after Jamar Chase's huge 82-yard touchdown. The Bengals converted first downs on a play to Tyler Boyd over the middle of the field, and then a first down to T. Higgins over the middle of the field, farther down the field. Higgins and Boyd were as wide open on those plays as any Bengals receivers have been at any point this season. And I mean, that is the living, walking proof and example of the challenge of defending the Bengals offense when it's clicking. That was when Chase was rolling at his most. Higgins and Boyd were wide open. And you say on paper when they draft Jamar Chase that a third wide receiver can unlock so much. And well, this is it. Those are two first downs that help seal the game after Jamar Chase gets 201 yards, where the Bengals can do that and not many other teams in the NFL can.
Well, and we're talking so much about Jamar Chase, but I think the cool part about this Bengals team is the culture is so right that Tyler Boyd hasn't had a breakout game. And, you know, it's been a few games since Tyler Boyd's been the guy. And he is the type of person that he couldn't be happier for Jamar Chase, because they all they care about this team is winning, and they're doing so. And a lot of it is because of Jamar Chase. So let's talk about the defense, because what this defense has consistently done, I'm willing to say at this point, the Bengals have a top five defense, top to bottom. There were plays today that they let Lamar Jackson loose, but at the end of the day, it's almost impossible to completely shut Lamar Jackson down. I mean, he's one of the best running quarterbacks in the league, if not the best. And he was playing at an MVP level, you could argue, with the amount of injuries the Ravens have had and how he was leading them to a 5-1 record. What stands out to you most about what you saw from the defensive performance for the Bengals today, Charlie?
Yeah, so when I went back and rewatched some of the game in the last aftermath after the game, like I went back and watched Lamar's best throws, and a number of the big plays he made that kept the Ravens in the game are the plays that only tier 1A quarterbacks can make. That deep ball to Brown. He had two throws where he literally jumped and threw it in midair, throwing off platform, different arm angles. Those were the plays that beat the Bengals, and those are MVP level plays that are impossible to stop. The rest of the stuff, the Bengals had every single advantage. Lamar Jackson played fine, but the Bengals played so well against the offensive line, against the wide receivers, against Mark Andrews, and against the run game that Lamar Jackson couldn't take over. And the last thing that deserves credit is the game plan. They really ramped up the style of play and the approach that they've used against the Ravens in previous years. They really went all in on it this time, and it paid off clearly as they had their best game ever against Lamar.
Well, I spoke with Lou Anarumo, the Bengals defensive coordinator, before the season, and I asked him specifically, do you spend time during the offseason dedicated to specific teams in the division? And he said, absolutely. So whatever the amount of time they spent on in the offseason on game planning against this Baltimore Ravens team, the job well done by that Bengals defensive staff, because they had a plan today and the players executed it, and it just continues to all go back to one player for me, and that's Trey Hendrickson. Sam Hubbard had a great game today, 2.5 sacks. Larry Ogunjobi, a sack and a half, and then Trey Hendrickson had one. But Trey Hendrickson elevates the play of the entire group, and there are some things to be said about when you've got so much confidence from a pass rushing unit that it lifts the entire defense up. And I truly think that they set the tone for this whole defense.
So you talking about that makes me consider a point I hadn't really reevaluated lately. So last week we were talking about just how big of strides Logan Wilson has taken, how much it means to have the pass rush they have, how much Jesse Bates is doing at safety. And then again, how different the linebacking core is producing as well. But my question is, like, who's the best player on the defense? And I think it's Trey Hendrickson.
It definitely is Trey Hendrickson. I'm ready and willing to say that.
Like, that's what's so interesting to me. And I'm challenged as well by this, because I think that Logan Wilson and Jesse Bates do so much in, like, less noticeable roles, especially when it's going right. But how Trey Hendrickson, like, the play I go back to today was he beats his man off the edge. Then Lamar scrambles to a different side outside the pocket, and Hendrickson basically tracks him down and sacks him anyway. There aren't many defensive ends that can do that. Defensive end is, I think, maybe aside from corner, but maybe even in competition with corner, the premier position on defense. And the fact that Hendrickson's doing it at a top level, that's invaluable, and that probably does make him the best player on the Bengals defense right now.
And he's impacting Sam Hubbard, and they just, on defense, they just seem like they're glued together. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but just listening to the way Trey Hendrickson talks about just how happy he is to be here and how he wants to go work hard, I just think when you've got guys like Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson, who are two of the hardest working athletes on the team, playing at the level they are, it just sets the tone for everybody, because if they're working that hard and you see them reaping the benefits of their hard work when they're able to sack quarterbacks like they are, I just think I don't ever worry about the Bengals defense, because even if they have a game where they get run all over or you know, they give up a bunch of passing yards, I just don't think it's a group that it's going to consistently happen to them.
And that's the thing, like, they've done it against Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers now. And looking at the rest of the schedule, you know, I'd have to go through it farther, but I don't think, except for the Chiefs, they play a better offense than those two. And with the way the Chiefs are playing now, maybe that's not even the case.
Probably the Chargers, right?
The Chargers, though, look at what the Ravens did to them last week. I would still have, like, to me, the top A offenses are the Bills, the Ravens, the Packers, the Bucks, the Cowboys. I wouldn't quite put the Chargers in that tier. So it's like, if this is what the Bengals have done against these two offenses, the sample size is getting pretty big. And like, as I was saying, the starts that the individual players are having as well, with looking who they've come against, those sample sizes are looking pretty big. And we're getting more and more data to confirm that, you know, this is just who Hendrickson is. This is just who Logan Wilson is. This is just who Chidobe Awuzie is. This is who they are.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think this game sealed your belief, and for the listeners and the fans that have been thinking, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop with this Bengals team. Like, is this start too good to be true? Did their performance today, do you think, change that narrative for those that have maybe thought that?
Oh, completely. It's a whole new ballgame now. It's a whole new ballgame. It's completely readjusted expectations. My prediction for the Bengals was to win 7 games this season. And if you'd have asked me a couple weeks ago, I'd say, you know, 8 wins, that's a successful year for the Bengals. Well, now I'm scrapping that. Now the expectation with the level they're at is making the playoffs. Now the expectation, based off how they've played and who they've shown to be so far, it would require a significant drop off, maybe like a little bit of a collapse, for them to not make the playoffs. Again, that's now the bar I'm judging the Bengals on. And it's a year ahead of schedule, which is really fascinating, surprising, and impressive.
I want to go back to one more thing before we wrap this up today. What have you seen from the Chicago Bears game, week 2, to now, the biggest difference with the Bengals pass protection? Because that was my biggest question today coming into this game. When the Bengals play, because they hadn't really played a good defensive front, when the Bengals, the first time they played a good defensive front in Chicago, they looked horrible in protecting Joe Burrow. And you know how it is. If the Bengals don't protect Joe Burrow, the offense runs through him and they struggle. There hasn't been a game since that game where I've walked away saying, Joe Burrow got killed today. What do you think, besides the obvious thing and Brian Callahan saying, well, everybody's just doing their job better, but like, when you saw the way they were picking up stunts and twists today, like, what stands out to you most about the improved pass protection from week 2 to now?
That's a great one. I was going to answer completely differently, but stunts and twists, those were two of the however many sacks Burrow took against the Bears, were plays where the end and the tackle just crossed and ran straight through. And while the offensive line isn't playing at a strength, one, they're recognizing that better. But the point I was initially going to make, like, I think they deserve more credit for play calling. There are just more interesting, more wrinkles, more advanced concepts that are harder to defend. I think that's what I'm noticing, and it's kind of doing a better job making up for the offensive line, specifically how they've used the play action game to kind of buy Burrow time in a safe way. So all of that together, some individual improvements. I'll look back, I'll evaluate that more, but clearly they're playing at a higher level.
Yeah, it's honestly remarkable to me, because they look like a different offensive line, and it's not just the offensive line, but tight ends, running backs. It just looks different than it did in week 2. And I know you don't want to make all these judgments 2 weeks into the season, but something's working, and whatever that is, hopefully they can keep doing it, because this offense looks like it's now hitting its stride, and it's the right time to be doing it, because, you know, they're Zach Wilson, who knows if he's going to play next week with the Jets, and Charlie and I will be back next week to preview the Jets game, but that sure looks like it's going to be a win. And then all eyes come now on the Cleveland game, and based off of what we've seen from the way they played against the Ravens, I think at the beginning of the year we probably would have said, yeah, the Browns are going to beat the Bengals. But now, especially with the injuries the Browns have, Things could get really interesting here in the next couple. And then you get a bye.
Yeah.
So if they can win these next few games and then get a bye, I mean, talk about going into the month of December, the most important month, at complete full strength, operating, hitting all cylinders. That's probably the best situation you could get if you're Zach Taylor, right?
And not to look past the Jets game, but just to use this as a theoretical example, like 2 weeks ago, the Browns would have been favored against the Bengals, you know, per Vegas. If the Bengals played the Browns tomorrow, I think the Bengals would be favored in that game. And that's, again, just a testament to what I've been saying, the readjusted expectations and how the Bengals have shown in a large enough sample size that they kind of deserve that, not respect, mm-hmm. because it's a betting line, but that level of hype, mm-hmm. respect, talent, acknowledgement, because that's what the Bengals have. And again, they've done enough now to show that that's who you should expect them to be in these upcoming matchups.
Well, and that's what I liked most about what Zach Taylor said following the game. He said, we need to learn how to handle this win. He is very aware of, yes, this was a big monkey that they got off their back, and being able to now beat the Ravens for the first time in his career as head coach of the Bengals. But they expect to win these games. So I think that was very reassuring to hear that from Zach Taylor when he said, we need to learn how to celebrate this in the right way.
And I mean, just like the Bengals haven't shown that to be an issue this season as well. That's another one of the biggest differences from this season and previous years, how they've responded to success. I don't often buy into intangible things like that, but that's something I've noticed, and I just get that sense. Like, the team's in a great spot. It's hard to nitpick right now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why you do it from a coaching perspective, from a front office perspective, because when it all meets and gets to that moment where the vision you had when you drafted Burrow, Higgins, and Wilson, when you spent as much as they did in free agency in 20 getting Reader, when you spent as much as they did in 21 getting Hendrickson and some other guys, Ogunjobi, like, when it clicks for the first time, that's a special moment, and this feels like that moment.
Mm-hmm. But it all starts and ends with the quarterback. I mean, as we are looking up, Charlie, the Chicago Bears have scored 3 points today. We're talking about Ja'Marr Chase a lot and the defensive additions, but Joe Burrow has been, his growth in year two is something that's right at the forefront of why this Bengals team is so successful.
That's a part of it. They're developing Joe Burrow into the quarterback they're looking for a number one overall pick to be. That's a part of the exciting part of this as well. These are the games where you analyze Joe Burrow with that wider lens, and the games where you see him in that second shot against the Ravens defense, not just correcting mm-hmm. the game and the issues that were the result of the worst game of his career last season, but then coming out and responding with the best statistical game of his NFL life. Like, again, that's a special moment on a team's overall like curve. And the Bengals are at that point where they are now, like, you can see the mountaintop now. They're obviously not anywhere close to there yet, but it's in range. And the expectations, as I've kept saying, are completely different.
Well, and I think the way we can wrap this up is I want to talk about this one specific play, because when we talk about why this Bengals team is different, Joe Burrow makes that costly interception mm-hmm. in the end zone, which that is the one thing as a quarterback you can't do. You either take the sack, throw it away, but you can't. You can't get no points mm-hmm. off of that drive. And if you don't get points, well, you at least want to give the Ravens the full field to have to drive. And I think at that point it was 27-17, right? It was a 2-score game.
He had that much faith that Ja'Marr could pull down that awful throw in the end zone. He didn't, but you know, we were talking to Burr after the game about the trust he has in Ja'Marr and the confidence and how that leads to specific throws and specific decisions. Well, if you want to know how much Joe Burrow trusts Ja'Marr Chase, mm-hmm. watch that play. Joe Burrow literally in that play is showing blind faith in Ja'Marr Chase because he can't see him.
Right.
And again, while that play wasn't successful, it's that relationship and that confidence and that trust that are such a big part of the Bengals' success.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, it is a fun time to be a Cincinnati Bengals fan, because if they continue to play like they did today, who knows? The sky might really be the limit for this team this year. All right, that's it for Charlie and I in Baltimore. We are going to be back this week to get you guys set as the Bengals now finish up their 3-game road swing with a trip to the Big Apple to play the New York Jets.